I greet you in the name of Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to bid each and every one of you a hearty welcome here this morning. If there are guests in our midst, also we give you a hearty welcome. We ask that you also may find the peace of the Lord this morning in our worship service. This morning, we want to look at Scripture and see what Scripture tells us about our personal finances and also where we can find real treasures. But before we do that, I want to have a word of prayer and a couple of songs. So could you unite your hearts with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of living in a country that has been blessed by the lives of those who have gone before us, the faith of our fathers and mothers. May you also find us faithful so that you can continue to bless us in this great country. We pray for our government that you have put in place. We are saddened by the laws that they are being passed that go against your word. We pray that they will open their hearts to you, that they may realize that the blessings we have in this country can only continue in obedience to you. May we be a witness to them by our faith and by the lives we live. And may our children also be able to say that they are living in a country that has been blessed by those who have gone before them. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who has made this all possible. Amen.
Take our red book and turn to number 220. All my sins have been forgiven. 220.
Grace and pardon, full and free. Let's turn to page 231, My Jesus, I Love Thee.
I want to start off with Psalm 100. Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5. It says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." This morning, we want to look at finances and the joys and stresses involved. Financial stress and management can be a major contributor to many failed marriages. And my prayer is that this message will not discourage, but rather encouraged each one of us, especially those that are struggling. A Christian marriage, as we know, is a lifelong relationship between a husband and a wife. And it is considered as the most intimate of human relationships, a gift from God, ordained by God. And this morning, this topic does not only just apply to married couples, but also many of these will also apply to those that are single. Now, a successful marriage requires falling in love many times, but always with the same person. One quote says, "Marriage is forever. We don't break up, we don't move out, we work it out." Very often, one of the first things that newlyweds discover after their wedding is that it requires a lot of money to pay all the bills. And many are just a bit overwhelmed at how much their paycheck actually needs to cover. And in premarital counseling, we always try to open their eyes to the financial requirements. Most often they will reply that they have everything under control. But many couples, after the wedding, realize mom and dad aren't here anymore to pay for the groceries, the hydro, payments, rent, and so much more. For many, they manage to stabilize their finances by working together and by putting to good use their financial skills. And being able to know the difference between their wants and their needs. And unfortunately, there are also many who do not know how to properly manage their finances. And even after many years of marriage, still find themselves in a stressful and unstable financial situation. Taking into consideration one of the major arguments in marriage concerns finances, then this is certainly an important element where a husband and wife need to make choices and decisions together. If financial stress is no fun, I think all of us have probably been there at one time or another, or are in there. But we want to go to Scripture today and find some encouragement to try and find ways to de-stress this situation. I want to first of all turn to Luke. Luke chapter 14, verse 28 to 30. Says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." First of all, Christ talks here about financial planning, and we need to consider the costs. Don't indulge in unnecessary purchases, making finances tough on you. Yes, without finances in place, this is what's going to happen. But we need to continually put our assets and our financial requirements on the table consider what is doable, and then make choices together. And if this does not happen, what is said of him? This man began to build and was not able to finish. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Here Christ tells us to first seek his kingdom. Christ wants to have a relationship with us. And when he says that we are to seek his righteousness, he also wants us to have a relationship with him. Now, every element in marriage should have a spiritual component to it. We need to commit our finances to him, to God, and prayerfully seek his guidance and direction for what we have earned and what we spend. And when we do this, Christ has promised us a blessing. He says that all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, he is saying, I will bless you again and again. Now, Christ is not promising us riches or prosperity, but what he is promising us is that he will take care of us. And we know that Christ should always be the head of all our daily activities. It should be, he should be there in our marriage, in our family, work. And Scripture teaches us to be good stewards of all we have, and that includes our finances. We might be surprised to know that Jesus talked more about money than a lot of other topics that we find in Scripture. But what I want to say this morning, I want to say with caution, with love, and with consideration. Many couples do live off a rather limited income. And we need to be honest with ourselves. We need money in order to survive in today's world. Yes, we should also have a desire and a will to earn a wage or income in order to support ourselves and our families. The Scripture does not discourage working for a living. As a matter of fact, it encourages us. We find that in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. He says, we're supposed to look at the ant. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Neither does Scripture condemn those who are rich. 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy 6, verse 17 to 19. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. But Scripture does teach us that all that we have, may it be our finances, our work, our possessions, we cannot say that this is mine. And I can do with it whatever I want to please. Scripture teaches us all that we have is from God, a gift from God, and that we need to be good stewards of all that the Lord has entrusted unto us. We must acknowledge that finances vary from one family to another. I know many families, they struggle to keep food on their table, to pay the bills and other expenses. For many people, the paycheck just does not go far enough. And just when you think things are looking a bit better, the vehicle breaks down or there's some other expense that comes up. But with our spirituality, we have all been blessed with the same measure. The poor and the rich, they have all received the same amount of grace and love from our Lord and Savior. But how much we have of this or possess will vary from one person to another. It is up to us how much of it we want to have or possess. And then the Apostle Paul says, whatever you have, it is required that you are a faithful steward. And one of the important things for us to be or to do is to be thankful. Not to complain what we don't have, but to be thankful for that what we do have. We are familiar with the story of the children of Israel. How God provided for them on their journey to the promised land, and yet they complained. They were unappreciated of God, how he had blessed them again and again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Yet God was not pleased with their complaining and that they were so unthankful for what he already was doing for them. They only focused on the gift and not on the giver. And we have so much to be thankful for. Let us take time to celebrate the good things in life that God has given us and not to forget the giver. Psalm 105, Psalm 105, verse 1 to 5 says, O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. In these verses, the psalmist teaches us to focus on the giver and to acknowledge the greatness of God. And we need to realize that God is an ownership of everything. And then he says, whatever I have given you, be good stewards thereof. Take care of what I have given you, and I will take care of you. Yes, the Lord, the Heavenly Father, has a pleasure in blessing us. And we need to trust God for our finances as we commit our daily activities unto Him. We also ask Him to provide for our future needs. Yes, God is interested, even in our finances. He cares about how we spend our paycheck. Before we go over or continue with this topic, I want you all to give an opportunity, whoever's able, to go on bended knee, and I have a prayer request here. A prayer request that Corny Heinrichs is requesting for his daughters, Agonitha and Maria. First of all, there's Frank and Agonitha Cron. They are in Mexico for Agonitha's lung surgery. Please pray for the surgeon and the medical team as they do surgery and for healing as she recovers after surgery. And also pray for Peter and Maria Cron as Maria recovers from surgery on her foot. And may we go on in prayer and keep these individuals in our minds. With the assurance where two or three are gathered in His name, He will answer our prayers.
Take our blue hymnals and turn to number 29, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. Number 29, for those that are able, let's stand.
I have seen.
It is also clear in Scripture that a father or a husband should provide for his family's needs. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 8. It says, but if any provide for not his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. These are very harsh words. By not providing, we have denied the faith. An infidel is an unbeliever. He says that we are then worse than an unbeliever for the simple reason there are many non-believers that care and love their families. But it is indeed sad to see that often families or their needs are neglected because many dollars are spent on selfish desires and to support personal addictions, be it drugs, alcohol, gambling. Gambling is, they've made it so convenient, can do it at home, anywhere. Pyramid schemes. Many families have been destroyed by all of these. This is sinful, poor stewardship, and it will not receive a blessing from God. Christ is not pleased to see men and women foolishly spending their money. Money that he has entrusted into their care. Foolish or careless spending will always result in financial stress, which leads to conflict in a marriage. We must remember our day of accountability is coming, and this includes our finances and stewardship practices. The husband and wife should both be respectful to their income. They both need to be able to use self-control and know the difference between the wants and the needs. Both need to act maturely in how to spend their hard-earned dollars. For many families, it helps to have a budget with a list of all the bills that need to be paid. A list that needs to be taken care of before any extras. And if there's a little money left over, it is always handy to have if needed. We should remember that we are not only accountable to God with our finances, but also to our marriage partner. Both husband and wife should be accountable to each other in their spending. Couples need to sit down and do some planning when it comes to making financial decisions. They should be asking themselves the question, is this something that we need now, or can we save up to buy it later? Is this something that we both agree on? Are the finances in place? We know that bills need to be paid and the groceries need to be in the fridge. But for many extras, couples should make these decisions together. Yes, we are accountable to God if we have little or if we have much. It is not how much we have, but what we do with it that counts. We must learn to live within our means. Yes, sometimes it would be nice to have what our neighbor has, but we must also be careful we don't give in to peer pressure or competition. Financial stress is hard on an individual, and it can be very depressing. That is why we need to plan carefully. It is better to live with less than to live in a stressful financial situation. And most of us, I think, would agree that the majority of financial failures are not because of a lack of income, but rather a lack of financial management. That's why it is so important that a husband and wife plan their finances together. It is also important that they both stay within the boundaries of their income. And by practicing good stewardship, parents can also teach their children how to make good financial choices. Yes, children will quickly pick up our spending habits, either good or those not so good. And there's another thing that I feel I need to briefly mention this morning and on this topic, and that is the importance of having a will. Studies show that less than 50% of Canadians have a will. What this means is that if both parents are gone, the government will disperse the family assets. And if there are underage children, the government will assign guardians. And also, we know that the government does not work cheap, meaning a large amount of the assets that would normally go to the family will go for government fees. A will is not an expense, it's an investment. A will gives parents the freedom to disperse of their assets the way they want to. A will gives parents the freedom to assign guardians to their children as they want to. A will gives parents the freedom to choose who will be in charge of dispersing the family assets. A will is one of the best and most meaningful gifts you can give your family. A will puts you into control, and it does not matter if you have little or much, or children or no children. Every individual, married or singles, with assets should have a will. Not much more could be said on this topic, but we'll do that maybe in another day. Good financial planning does not happen on its own. It is a learned skill and an area of our lives where a lot of self-discipline and self-control is required. And every couple or every individual needs to be careful how they use credit cards. It is a trap that many people have fallen into and so hard to get out of. With credit card debts come high interest rates. I need to be careful about gimmicks. Buy now, pay in 6 months or even later than that. There are times when we need to make a loan for bigger purchases. But for pots and pans and couches, it is better to save up first. And every husband and wife needs to identify problem areas in their finances. Both need to be willing to make sacrifices and compromises. And we must remember that in practicing good stewardship, we need to share a portion of our finances to support our local church and other missions. Now, I am not here to tell you how much to give. That is a matter that each individual and family needs to decide on. But Scripture talks about that in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 9. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man, according as he proposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Then we'll go back to Proverbs. Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19, verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him back. Interesting, isn't it? When we give to the poor, we are lending God money. And he says, I will pay it back. His words. Proverbs 28, verse 27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. Let us ask ourselves, is my spending in control of me, or am I in control of my spending? Does money control me, Or do I have the maturity that I can control my finances? Yes, money is a good tool, but a poor master. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And one of our greatest treasures has nothing to do with money. But when I'm in control of my finances, I am a rich man. When I consider my family, wife, and children, I'm a rich man. When I consider my salvation and what riches I have in Christ Jesus, I am a rich man. When I consider my eternal home and the home of many mansions, I am a rich man. Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Yes, by supporting the church, remembering the poor, we are laying up treasures in heaven. And we are also continually reminded in Scripture to do all things with eternity in mind. We need to be careful that we are not so focused on our everyday living that we kind of forget or lose sight of our coming eternity. In Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is good advice for each one of us. These are true riches to pursue. These are treasures that have eternal value. And if we as husbands and wives, moms and dads, can place these virtues at the top of our priority list, we will not have the time to allow the love or the lack of money to rule our lives. Our finances will then only be a tool to provide for our physical needs. But our hearts and desires should be to first seek the kingdom of God and to live in his righteousness and to claim the promise for ourselves. And when Jesus says, all these things or my blessings will be given to you. Now, financial freedom does not mean that we do not have bills to pay, but rather it means that we have learned to live within our means. We are working together to live with within our financial boundaries and not controlled by impulsive spending. Financial freedom will give you the power to wisely use your money as you decide. And it is my prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ will help each one of us to be good stewards, and that our financial situation may not divide us, but rather give us strength and stability, working together as a team with one common goal in mind. and when individuals or couples are not in financial bondage, they will find much more time to enjoy the real treasures that God has intended for each one of us. Now, marriage is not intended to be a time of continual stress and contention, but rather that husband and wife can work together to overcome difficulties and to enjoy the blessings that God has in store for them. Yes, do we want to enjoy financial freedom? Do we want to enjoy the blessings that God has? Then seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite our hearts for closing prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of our service, we thank you for being in our midst in spirit this morning, leading and guiding your word. We thank you for all your spiritual blessings. We also want to thank you for the blessings that you give us in our daily lives. You have asked us the question, I take care of the birds, are you not much better than they? Yet we find so many that are struggling financially. Some of it is self-inflicted. May you guide them to make it right. Some do not have the financial resources. May you take care of them through us. And there are also those that are struggling spiritually. May they find peace in your word. We pray for the lost, that they may open their heart's door to your knocking. We pray for the sick, the lonely, those that have lost loved ones. May they find peace and comfort in you. In Jesus' name, amen. We always have an opportunity to pray, not only here, but also at home. We can call upon the Lord in the morning and evening. And so, whoever's able, let us once again kneel in prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us.
Take the blue hymn book, turn to page 58. I give my life for thee. 58. From the dead.
Good morning. I want to thank Brother Jake for that important message. I didn't know that a preacher could be, I knew he was a good marriage counselor, but didn't know he could be a financial advisor as well. Thanks, Jake. Reminder that the spring conference meeting has been rescheduled to April 1st at 10 a.m. in the Altona Church. That's Lord willing. Also, Passion Week services, they will be held April 3rd to the 6th in the evenings at 7 p.m. Come join us in worship as we celebrate Jesus the week of Easter. Also, the Sunday School Easter program will be on March 25th at 7:30 p.m. Everyone is welcome. The practice will be on March 24th at 7:30 p.m. And we have a thank you note. Aaron Penner wanted to let you know that his surgery went well, and he thanks you for your prayer support. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Pete. I also want to thank you all for coming this morning and partaking in our service and song and prayer, and the Lord will truly bless you for that. Let us unite for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. May you go in the peace of the Lord.